I'm just gonna die inside for a second.
Okay, perfect.
Are you dying inside?
Because you want me to say this pun.
Do it.
Okay.
If you tell me the pun, I'll say it.
I don't know how to start this. It doesn't roll off the tongue very well.
You didn't know how to start this.
There we go.
I don't know.
Two kind of end sounds back to back. But anyway, okay, right.
Stone it. Stone it. You got this.
You didn't know how to start this.
You're thinking too hard about it. Way too hard.
Oh no, you're doing so good. Just clip that beginning bit where we were all saying it. That'll be plenty.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Okay. Hello and welcome to the Heathen Weirdos podcast. Today we are going to be discussing the elusive goddess known as Idun. What do we know about her? What has she got to do with apples? Is she really the key to the gods' immortality? Find out here and now!
Do this!
My name is Sif, my pronouns are she, her.
I'm Kenna, my pronouns are she, her.
And I am Theo, my pronouns are they, them.
So yes, Idun or Ithun, if you want to go for the eth sound. We have numerous translations for her name or meanings or possible etymological things of that nature. Rudolf Simek in the Dictionary of Northern Mythology, which is pretty much my go-to for things like this, gives the translation of the name Idun to mean rejuvenating one or rejuvenator, one who gives life, that sort of thing. John Lindau theorizes that the possible etymological meaning of Idun or Ithun is ever young. So obviously this ties directly to one of the things she's most known for, which is the apples that give the gods seemingly their immortality, or at least preserves their youth. So we also have numerous ways in which you might see Idun's name. It's Idhun, Idun with I-D-U-N-N, I-D-U-N, or Ithun. And occasionally an A is added to the end, so it's Iduna, Ithuna, or Iduna of two N's. There we go. In terms of appearances, she's got loads of various spellings of that name. Because, weirdly, she is quite well known within
the Norse gods. I mean, this is super random. My grandmother used to live on Idunavagen when she was in Sweden.
Okay.
Amazing.
I mean, she's also one of the goddesses that we actually have motherfucking lore on.
I know, isn't it great?
There's this goddess, Saga, who the fuck knows what she does, bye.
She has a fool. That's it.
We can definitively say that Idun is not Frigg.
Yes, what? That's the one thing we can.
Holy shit, we can?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Baby, little wins for women in myth.
Yep, I've never seen her combine. Damn you, Snorri! In terms of appearances, she's in both the poetic and the prose Edda. Though Snorri gives the most information in terms of the goddess in his prose Edda. And it's there that we find the core story that most will probably know about Idun. So in terms of the older poetic Edda, Idun is mentioned in Lokasenna, like many of the other goddesses. And that is specifically very interesting, considering that many academics view Lokasenna as probably originating in the 8th or 9th century, at least orally, before being written down a few centuries later. So we go into the Larrington translation of stanzas 16, 17, and 18. Idun said, I ask you, Bragi, to do a service to your blood kin and all the adoptive relations, that you shouldn't say words of blame to Loki in Aegir's hall. Loki said, be silent, Idun. I declare that of all women, you're the most man-crazed, since you placed your arms washed bright about your brother's slayer. Oh. Idun said, I'm not saying words of blame to Loki in Aegir's hall. I quietened Bragi, made talkative with beer, and all living things love him. So they're going to give you a translation of the translation. Idun is basically sticking up for Loki a little bit in that first stanza, just saying, like, you know, don't say words of blame to Loki, because she's saying that Bragi's a little bit drunk with beer, and Loki just takes the moment to just be like, you slept with your brother's slayer. Now, in terms of who the brother is and the killer of the brother, we have no clue. None of that survived. So, you know, this might be a case of Loki making up shit or just a story. We don't know.
Yeah, that's a reaction. Doom was like, hey, chill out. And Loki goes, no, fuck you.
No, you chill out.
And Doom's like, Loki, I wasn't even talking to you, but okay.
Yeah, basically. He just had a lot. It's just...
I feel that... Okay, so this is being gracious and assuming Snorri knew all the lore. Okay, we understand this. So I feel like Snorri heard all the stories and knows that Idun slept with her brother Slayer. Who the fuck knows if it was before or after? Anyways, so I feel like Snorri's like, and then Loki's like, shut up, whore. Don't stick up for me. I can use someone else to stick up for me. I'd rather stick up for myself than a whore.
Yeah, literally.
Really?
Bury that.
Yeah, like, so, like, that's just, and then Snorri is like, well, everyone knows she's a whore now, so I'm not gonna add that earlier story, because she is a whore and doesn't need more. I feel like that's the Christianization coming in. I don't actually call her a whore, like, whatever, it's fine.
It's just what we have. Snorri sounds more and more like Saxo every day.
I quite like the idea that Loki... that Idun doesn't have a brother.
He's just literally
making shit up on the fly.
Yeah, like this brother.
She's like, what brother?
And like, I don't, like, in the slayer of the brother, unless it's Bragi, like, is not at all, like, mentioned ever in the lore. If you don't.
Maybe Bragi killed someone then.
Maybe.
I mean, all the gods are warriors.
I really like, because my brain hadn't quite connected that bunch of people hanging out in hall, maybe they're drunk, until this section where Idun says, he's drunk. Maybe Loki was they're just all being drunk assholes. This isn't Loki being a dick, he's just an angry drunk.
They have a mead brewing cauldron that is a mile wide. Of course they're drunk.
What is alcohol to a god, Theo?
I knew that was coming.
Can the gods get drunk? This should be a whole nother episode.
Oh, God.
If they get drunk on their god beer, then yes.
Okay, excuse me, I need to go put something in the Discord. that we are in. I'm going to make an announcement.
Oh, my God.
Can the gods get drunk?
Would you like to hear an... episode discussing whether or not the gods can get drunk?
Well, they certainly can in the Eddas.
Mythologically.
We're gonna do a green check for yes, or a... Millie, do you need to be on my face right now?
Yes.
Okay, what is the sign for no? Or, like, here, I'll just type no.
There's like a red cross. X or something.
Millie, get off my face.
It's someone shaking their head.
Okay, we're just doing no, because I'm not spending more time on this. Yes, send it all. Ding everyone, bitches.
Oh my god.
Wow, okay, while that's going down, okay. I am going to talk about Hrafnagolda Othins, which translates to Odin's Raven Gulda / Song. And while this is included in the Poetic Edda on occasion, there is quite a lot of debate about the age of the piece, with quite a lot of academics saying it's a much later work, some saying 17th century, others saying 14th. So yeah, take it with a pinch of salt. But Idun is in stanza 6, to use the Thorpe translation. In the dales dwells the prescient dis from Yggdrasil's ash sunk down of Alfin race Idun by name, the youngest of Vivaldi's elder children. How many reactions have you got? Have you got any?
We have 3 yeses so far.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry. Okay.
Right. So,
first of all, I love Odin's Raven Song. Fantastic. Yes. Wonderful title for any given piece. Perfect.
Yep. Yes. In terms of analyzing this stanza, which you should always do in detail, Idun here is mentioned as a dis or disia. Mm-hmm. It's probably Well, I'm going to say 100% likely this is just used as shorthand for goddess, seeing as that always happens. And she's described as an elf and the youngest child of Ivaldi, making her the sister to the famous sons of Ivaldi who created the gifts for the gods.
But that,
I mean, ultimately,
not make
the brothers.
That not make more gods also elves? Or, the elf thing is throwing me.
It's quite interesting because also in Lokasenna, we also have, they're described as gods and elves. Because elves. When Njörður is sticking up for Freya, he says, it's, you know, I love this line, I always say it, it's about how it's no matter, you know, it's no one's, you know, right to know who women sleep with, a husband or anyone else. And Loki says about, like, she's slept with all of the gods and elves in this hall. So there is honestly this weird kind of distinction between a god and an elf that's a little bit never defined.
A little bit never defined.
Also, we obviously have Freya, Yngvi Freya, who is very much tied to the elves. And again, like an Alfheim,
elf?
It's just
another
not...
word for Vanir?
I'm going to say no, but it could be. Who knows?
So is Snorri the only one who uses the phrasing of elves for the gods?
No, this would be in the Poetic Edda, so this is prior to.
Okay.
Delightful.
That's actually really...
So, yeah.
Okay.
But saying about this one, Hrafnagold or Othins, it's... I would honestly put it aside in that a lot of what is said here in terms of, you know, the children of Ivaldi and all of that, it's just nowhere else. So, I mean, note it down, but in terms of using it as something solid and yes, it's absolutely happened, I probably wouldn't.
Okay, what are the Dales?
Yorkshire. it's just Yorkshire. That's where Yggdrasil is. Maybe it's just in nature. I don't know. We might
feel like it's a description of a natural, like a hill, a valley, a dale. Like, I feel like it's a natural description, but Google is not confirming.
Yeah, I would. That's what I would guess.
Dale.
It's just out there somewhere.
Out yonder.
Over the hills.
Scandinavian for yonder.
But
somewhere
yes.
In the hills is where Idun lives. Bless her.
Yep. Why is heathenry? Anyway.
Dales.
This is a poem from maybe the 17th century that we're looking at, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Desperately trying to make sense of.
Yeah, it's interesting. But anyway. In both the Poetic and Prose Edda, Idun is described as the keeper of the apples of the Aesir old age curse. And I love that phrasing. The old age curse of the Aesir. Which I find interesting because it is specified as an Aesir old age curse.
Mm-hmm.
So, did it only afflict them? Are the Vanir okay?
What about the elves?
The elves. It's, yeah, I want to look into this a little bit more because obviously we're going to get onto this later about, as heathens, do we believe that the gods can get old? You know, obviously, I'm going to say no.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Or at the very least, lose their youth, and if not, if this was this something that, you know, the Vikings believed in, the people before the Vikings, or is this a Christian insertion to kind of go alongside the gods can die, and obviously all of that? It's very interesting.
Well,
we'll get into that in a minute.
Think about it. apples are very prominent in a lot of different cultures and like stuff for being like miraculous and healing, like, and if, like, okay, so I guess I don't know what the Old Testament looked like in Snorri's time, because, like, we know now that, like, the Garden of Eden's apple tree was likely a pomegranate, but, like, so, like, if it was an apple by that time, the apples caused death in Adam and Eve, not immediate, but like a biological, like natural timed death, because they were supposed to be immortal before that. And so, like, I could see it being like, well, deities, it works the other way, like an apple a day, and or blah blah blah. Or even if, like, originally it was Idun's apple, like apples, like maybe Idun worked with air, and like her apples could cure anything, like wounds and stuff. like, uh-huh. And it just turned into, like, well, what's the greatest affliction of mankind? It's death.
Death.
So, like, they were like, yeah. So, like, you know, it's cures death. Interesting. I guess.
So obviously, we have, like, an apple of discord in Hellenic. The apple as a continuing symbol of whatever forbidden knowledge or whatnot.
Yeah.
Is interesting, as long with, like, you know, like Snow White in folklore, mm-hmm. like, you know, death and poison and blah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is something that just makes me want to question everything. It's just like, okay, so is Idun, like, despite, you know, her namesake, ever young and all that, is she just really, really old? And it's just been feeding the gods apples since, like, Ymir's time.
Idun is literally the Wicked Witch, not the Wicked Witch, the queen in Wicked Witch disguise from Snow White, force feeding apples to the Aesir.
It's just, it, you know, were they as still godly but mortal? I don't know. It's just one of those things that we have to kind of separate our brain from, as a heathen, I worship them as immortal beings, that, you know, death means something very different to us. And also in the Eddas that we have, this is also the depiction in that, and how to not entirely reconcile them, but kind of, it's interesting as a kind of like a, just like a, not really a thought experiment, just something along those lines.
Yeah, because it is common for some of the stories that we have to describe the gods as human. Apples being the glue that holds the immortality together. Kinda doesn't not make sense.
I think one second. I feel like I might just be absolutely contradicting what I've just said, but I think maybe in the Poetic Edda there is no mention of, like, ever young apples, which you might be seen as the keeper of apples. And it's only in the prose Edda that we get that connection. So it may be Snorri doing his usual shit. Damn you, Snorri.
Damn you, Snorri.
The game, are apples even natively grown in Scandinavia? There are specific kinds of apples.
I imagine they are. They're pretty hardy. They are very hardy. At least they're grown in the UK.
Apples, so delightful. Who cursed them?
I don't know, but it's interesting, isn't it? Maybe it's Angerbotha.
Deserved it.
Or Gulveig.
If it was Gulveig, deserved it. Totally deserved it.
It's just, it's interesting that it's described as a curse.
Yes.
And
it'd be artistic.
You know, honestly,
be a curse.
So,
I feel like I've got so many questions.
I just imagined Idun, like, being, like, a snake oil salesman and, like, convincing them that they were cursed with old age and being like, and the only cure is my apples, bitches.
Genius. You're genius.
That works. All of the, anything where she's described in any sort of detail, she is described as the wife of Bragi, who is associated with the poetry and scolds, and obviously is a very crucial figure for those that actually recorded and wrote down these stories. So Bragi tends to pop up quite a bit because of his kind of lingering associations with kind of like inspiring and like almost like a giver of muses. I know that's Greek, but inspiration. So thing is, I always say this right when I don't want to and I'm not recording. Scald Skarpamál. There we go. We'll go with that. Skarpamál. Skald Skarpamál. Idun is mentioned as one of the eight Asynjur, sitting in their thrones at the banquet in Asgard. Later in the book, Bragi then tells Aegir about Idun's abduction at the hands of Thiazi. So, Kenna, do you want to...
I will give it my best go. These are a lot of words.
As Bragi. Channel him.
Channel him? All right, okay, I can do this.
Hail Bragi.
Gonna make me laugh. Okay, I'm starting here. Bragi told Aegir of many things which had come to pass among the Aesir. He began the story at the point where three of the Aesir, Odin, Loki, and Heinar, departed from home and were wandering over the mountains and wastes, and food was hard to find. When they came down to a certain dale, I mean hill or something, they saw a herd of oxen, took one ox, and set about cooking it. Now when they thought that it must be cooked, broke up the fire, and it was not cooked. After a while, they passed. After a while had passed, they having scattered the fire a second time, and it was not cooked, they took counsel together, asking each other what it might mean. Then they heard a voice speaking in the oak above them, declaring that he who sat there confessed he had caused a lack of virtue in the fire. They looked over thither, and there saw an eagle. It was no small one. Then said the eagle, if ye are willing to give me my fill of the ox, then it will cook in the fire. He assented to this. Then he let himself float down from the tree, and alighted by the fire forthwith, the very first took unto himself two hams of the ox, and both shoulders. Then Loki was angered, snatched up a great pole, brandished it with all his strength, and drove it at the eagle's body. Yo, you're laughing. Do you have thoughts?
I'm just... the imagery in this is hilarious. Really
incredible. The eagle plunged violently at the blow and flew up, so that the pole was fast into the eagle's back, and Loki's hands to the other end of the pole. Cool. Great. The eagle flew at such a height that Loki's feet down below knocked against stones and rocks and trees. Thought his arms would be torn from his shoulders.
Is Loki Stretch Armstrong?
Apparently. Jesus. He cried aloud, entreating the eagle urgently for peace, but the eagle declared that Loki shall never be loosed. Loosed? Okay. Unless he would give an oath to induce Idun to come out of Asgard with her apples. Loki assented. Being straightway loosed, he went to his companions. Or for that time, or any more things reported concerning their journey until they had come home. That was the one big thing. Cool, great, awesome. At the appointed time, Loki lured Idun out of Asgard to a certain wood, saying that he had found some such apples that would seem to her of great virtue, and prayed that she would have her apples with her to compare them with these. And Thiazi the giant came there in his eagle's plumage and took Idun and flew away with her, off to Durinheimr? Question mark? To his abode.
Durinheimr. Yeah, to his abode.
Is that what we do? We just put Heim against your name? I can call my house, yes. Like, Kenaheim?
Yes. Perfect.
Delightful. But the Aesir became straitened at the disappearance of Idun, and speedily they became hoary and old. Ori? Henri? I don't know. Then those Aesir took counsel together and each asked the other what had been last known of Idun. And the last thing that had been seen was that she had gone out of Asgard with Loki. Damn it, Loki. Thereupon Loki was seized and brought to the thing and threatened with death or tortures. He had become well frightened. He declared that he would seek Idun in Jotunheim if Freya would lend him the hawk's plumage which she possessed. When he got the hawk's plumage, he flew north to Jotunheim and came on a certain day to the home of Thiazi the giant. Very specific, thank you. Thiazi had rowed out to sea, but Idun was at home alone. Loki turned her to the shape of a nut, iconic, and grasped her in his claw, and flew his utmost. Now when Thiazi came home and missed Idun, he took his eagle's plumage and flew after Loki, making a mighty rush of sound with his wings in flight. When the Aesir saw the hawk with the nut, where the eagle was flying, they went below Asgard and bore burdens of plane shavings. We have agreed this is probably like wood shavings. Bore burdens of plane shavings thither. As soon as the hawk flew into the citadel, he swooped down close by the castle wall. Then the Aesir struck fire to the plane shavings. The eagle could not stop himself when he missed the hawk. The feathers of the eagle caught fire, and straight away his flight ceased. The Aesir were near at hand and slew Thiazi the giant within the gates of Aesir. And that slaying is exceedingly famous.
Well done, thank you.
Delightful.
Clap, clap.
Lots of words in that. Wow.
So, yes, Thiazi the giant is, the slaying is exceedingly famous because it ultimately led to Skathi donning her armor and seeking vengeance to the gods. So we will be talking about Skathi in the next episode, but for now, this whole story, that is probably one of the most detailed that we have about any goddess. Mm-hmm. Even if she plays, again, a very in-the-back sort of role. So, can the gods die? Do they age? etc., etc. Let's discuss.
Like, story right meow?
Yeah. The story does not pass the Bechdel test.
No, it does not.
No.
Freya and Idun are both in it, but they do not talk to each other, and they do not talk because they don't talk to each other. It doesn't count as not talking about a man.
Well, I'm also like, I wish that we had more detail of Loki convincing Idun to leave. Like, oh hey, you want to see some real pretty apples? Like, that's all I got from that. Like, where it's like,
literally,
I feel like if I was the Dune, I would be like,
no.
What kind of apples? Where are they? How are they prettier? Where'd you find this? I've been looking for prettier apples for forever.
It's again, it's sort of aligning with that idea of not only the goddesses being background figures, but also, like with Sif and getting a haircut, quite vain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like luring Idun out because there's prettier apples over here.
Come on, some see my pretty shiny apples. Obscure.
This is a bit, I feel like this definitely influenced Snow White. Loki was probably the evil queen all along.
Loki was the evil queen. Perfect.
That is the motto for this episode.
Loki is the evil queen.
Mm-hmm. But not that evil.
Just a little.
Oh, completely side note. A lot of people have said a lot of positive feedback about the Loki episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love Loki. Like, I don't actually think Loki is evil.
No. It was just, I saw something on Reddit the other day, and it was like just out in kind of like, it might have been on the Loki subreddit, but it was people discussing how it really resonated with them.
Aww.
And like the idea of matching energies.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to update everyone. The question for whether or not the gods can get drunk or not has 17 yeses and absolutely zero noes.
Perfect.
Amazing. So we're going to be doing an episode on Can the Gods Get Drunk?
Yep.
Okay.
Perfect. I mean, I like this story because not only did Loki cause a problem, but he also solved the problem.
I mean, Loki usually solves the problems.
Usually he solves other people's problems.
That too. Like, Loki's problem-solving skills are top-notch. Like, yeah.
This is true. Dude figures it out.
It's also one of the reasons why I'm sort of convinced that he might be a kind of Saith worker. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that you could almost say that most of the things that happen that we know about in the Eddas are pushed along because Loki does something. Mm-hmm. So the reason why Skarthi marries Njortha and, you know, is friendly with the Aesir and Asgard, or was about as friendly as you can get, is because of this whole incident. Admittedly, it caused her father to die, but it's like putting pieces into place that would otherwise not be into place. And I assume, like...
If the gods... Yeah. If Idun's apples legitimately do keep the gods youthful, in what... How is that not also Seid work? Because that's changing the course of their... lifespan, question mark?
That's true.
Yeah. It's one of those things. It's like... kind of, I don't want to say it's all Saether. But
I mean, what we have on Saether is so vague in terms of, like, what it actually does. It's really easy for everything that involves force of story to be put under that umbrella, because it's a very wide umbrella.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and also, like, I guess, like, the only question I have at this exact moment, because I am that goblin, was like, oh, so you're saying an apple a day does keep the doctor away?
Not wrong.
And that doctor is air.
Air! Wait, so do apples repel air?
UPG, air likes apples.
I'm just being a goblin right now.
Nobody offer apples to air. It's bad. She won't come.
Don't.
She's like, no.
No apples.
Especially not golden delicious apples.
No. God no. Why would you ever do that? I'm joking. I'm joking.
Yeah, okay.
I like that, like...
It's clear...
I'm like, so do apples repel air, and Sif actually thinks about it.
Well, it's a valid question.
Is it?
Only Idun's apples, but yes. If we're going to go with the apple day keeps the doctor away sort of thing, which I don't know whether that was a Viking kind of thing.
I don't know where that originated.
It's probably quite modern.
I'm sure it is.
Wouldn't it be funny if it did extend all the way back to the Vikings and it was referring to and it was referring to the story? You're welcome, world.
This is time for editing, Sif, to have gone in a rabbit hole, like, research hole, and being like, FYI, this is editing, Sif, and this is the answer.
First appeared printed in a publication in 1866 in Wales, originally saying, eat an apple on going to bed and you'll keep the doctor from earning his bread.
Oh,
Kenna, you ruined the illusion.
Nope, I have to know. These are very important things.
God, now I want bread. I'm hungry.
Okay. So.
So we don't know who... Idun's brother is, or who killed him.
Maybe some dwarves. Who knows?
Nobody.
It's just all really confusing, because obviously the sons are already described as dwarves, but she's an elf.
Maybe dwarves are dudes and elves are the femmes.
That's exactly how this
100%.
Works.
100%.
What gender are you? Dwarf, elf, or there's another one. Dark elf is envy. Perfect. This is a joke. Please don't take me seriously.
I'm an orc. Plague Doctor Orc.
Perfect.
My gender.
I wanted to say, is this really all we have on Idun? And then I remembered that this is like 3 pages of stuff, and that's actually a lot.
I was gonna say, I was like,
yeah,
like, Kenna, please.
I mean, I think Scarthy may have a little bit more. But yeah, in terms of the goddesses, this is a lot.
This is a lot. It leaves us with only more questions.
Like, can the gods die? I think it's understood, let's say Lokasenna is from the 9th century. Then at least in the later part of the Viking Age, then there was an understanding that the gods had some sort of ability to die. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or an understanding that they lived potentially very, 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 very long, and what we're talking about, and Idun maybe disappeared for like thousands of years. We don't know.
Yeah. Maybe, but I mean, we also have stories of killing. To what degree giants and gods are different in this context, I do not know. Even if they don't naturally die, they can clearly be slain.
Mm-hmm. And his eyes tossed into the sky. Yeah, it's odd, because also we have the Great War between the Aesir and Vanir, mm-hmm. that presumably led to some death.
Imagine
that would
so.
Be a really pointless affair.
Unless they all had stormtrooper aim.
Pew, 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 pew.
Couldn't hit.
And now just imagining Odin going, pew, 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 pew.
Honestly, not all, that's on brand. That's...
Yep. Pew, 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 pew. Pew.
Okay, so speaking of
Odin, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Idun's apples and carrying shit, like, okay, my brain just went to the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how Odin is like going into his Odin sleep.
Right.
What the fuck was that supposed to mean?
He had to sleep like a long time, didn't he? It was one of those things where he sleeps for like, I can't remember the timeline.
Century
a long time every now and again.
Is that based in lore, or is that just some weird shit they came up with?
I think that's more to do with Odin's force, Odin power. I don't know what it's called. I think it's Odin's force.
It's Odin's
god
force.
Power. Oh no, wait, the god power is something different. Odin's force and the kind of toll it takes to have that sort of power, because Odin in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is exceedingly powerful, more so than the other gods.
So it's all based on Marvel Cinematic Universe, is what you're telling me.
Well, yeah, the Marvel comics at the very least. But yeah, Odin's sleep isn't a thing.
I was going to say, sorry, I was like, that just came up, and I was like, wait.
It's because he didn't have enough apples. Odin's sleeping.
Idun was gone. It may be related to the whole hanging himself in Yggdrasil. That might be the comparison point. Maybe he sleeps for 9 days and Odin sleep or something.
Maybe.
I feel like it was longer than that. It was something like this.
Yeah, I feel like it was a while. They seemed pretty worried about it.
It was very stressful. Yeah. Well, because they didn't have a dune.
He's sleeping.
They just need a dune and all the problems would be solved.
Fact.
Seems like a very nice lady. But... sitting in a hall full of her drunk friends going, dude, shut up.
Like...
I'm not talking to you.
You're all drunk. Let's just be nice.
She's definitely the mom drunk friend. Trying to solve everybody's problems, and everyone's like, fuck you, I do what I want!
She's just like...
I don't think there's... this isn't a hot take or anything, but... I vibe with all of the goddesses. They just seem very chill.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
For the most part.
I feel like to live with the Norse deity mask people, you'd have to be very chill.
Yeah, especially when, you know, Loki is flighting. Here we go. Another round of being called a whore.
It is a little bit like being the resident females in a frat house.
Oh, Christ, that sounds like a nightmare.
Doesn't it? These are all like the frat boy girlfriends just trying to make sure that no one loses a tooth that day.
And then they talk amongst themselves.
It sort of dawns on me that you've got like these cliques in the goddess community, in that you've got Frigg and her handmaidens, you've got Freya and the Valkyries, and obviously Air's doing double duty. She wanders between the two groups. And then you've just got all the other goddesses are just like,
I'm hearing that we could make like a Mean Girls show, but it's the Norse goddesses.
Well, I'm also like, so wait, we have frats and we have a frat and sororities.
Yes. Very much.
Yeah. And like the Valkyries are like the jock sorority. Yeah.
They're all rugby girls, easily.
Frigg is their house mom.
I was about to say rugby girls. And then Idun, who...
She's the really sweet
Sif
one.
Are just kind of in a corner.
Very sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, with all the apples.
The apples.
And just hanging around in a garden. Yeah, it's
probably just... bake things and take them around to their friends.
Yeah. I like getting baked goods.
Meanwhile, you flash cut to the gods, and it's just like,
they're just all dancing around this mile-wide cauldron.
Yeah, Braggy's sitting in the corner playing Wonderwall on his guitar, and Dune's making apple strudels.
And they're like, come on, very kids, let's sit down. Let's sit down and have a snack.
Can't go raiding and pillaging on an empty stomach.
Are we back to the trad wife
episode? No.
Okay. It is wild that we have so much about Idun, but so little on Idun.
Yeah.
Just a side character in all of her own stories.
Oh, if Frigg is the sorority house mother, Odin is the frat house dad. And that just makes so much sense.
I love it.
Yep.
Perfect.
Okay, sorry. Please, let's be serious now.
I don't know if we can.
It's, I guess, a question for the audience. I mean, but this is the thing. It's like, when you say, can the gods die? Yes in the stories, no in
IRL.
You know, the real world.
I mean, even if they can die, to what degree does that matter?
Hell's just like, I'm not keeping you here.
Get the fuck out.
Hell is like the...
All the gods that die go to Valhalla? Question mark?
Oh, I did have a thought about this, about it was just a little piece of brain food about how, you know, how we have Olrun being a Valkyrie and the idea that maybe why would Ragnarok seem like a big deal if Odin has literally an undying army? Why would the gods need to get involved? Just, you know, eventually you'd whistle down. Like, they obviously, this undying army in Valhalla has some sort of sway in killing gods or giants or whatever. Because otherwise, what's the point of having them if we're to say Ragnarok is a thing? So, like, why would the gods need to be involved at all? You could just have, like, a horde of, like, pawns, essentially, just go out there and just keep reviving and coming back. So my thought was, essentially, that Valhalla is like I guess purgatory would probably be the best explanation. And that the mead that they're served is some sort of, like...
health potion.
Life and death. Yeah, like a little life-death sort of... not dead, not alive, middle ground. Maybe, to keep them going.
Maybe Idun's apples are essentially a health pack for gods.
Yeah. And that maybe, you know, when those that are in Valhalla die, they end up in hell. And that Valhalla isn't really death, it's just a middle ground.
If only we had literally any more information about literally anything.
It's just, so that means that obviously we know that Baldur dies and goes to hell. Huh. It's just, honestly, I have so many questions and this podcast is making it worse.
Yeah, literally every amount of research we do leaves us with more questions.
Just like, what? What is this?
So, yeah.
Why was Thiazi so interested in Idun? She just like super pretty, or what? Did he want her apples for reasons?
Did he want her apples? Yeah.
No.
Yo.
Okay.
Not apologizing.
I'm guessing it was maybe the giants have the old age curse as well. Maybe. I don't know anymore. I'm just.
Or you know,
there's no way.
And
Odin was also just really important to the Aesir and whatnot, and so like. I could see that the other person, like, wanted some control over them and was like, yeah, you can have her apples if you do X, Y, and Z.
Okay.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be a ransom situation.
I have another question. How and why did Thiazi have any control over whether or not a fire could cook a meat?
And then later get burned by it?
Magic. Yeah, it's one of those things. The giants have, like, magic, certainly. Mm-hmm. The Jotun. Like primordial, strange magics that the Aesir just can't figure out. That happens quite a lot, but yeah. Honestly, my brain's trying. So, audience, can the gods die? Do you believe that they die full stop everywhere? And, you know, as in the real world, obviously in the Eddas is a different story. Do you believe that they age? How do we reconcile this common perspective of the gods today with stuff like Ragnarok, if we're to believe it's a thing? It's a whole, honestly, it's just brain spaghetti.
Brain spaghetti is how we end this episode. Remember to eat your apples.
And your brain spaghetti.
Your brain spaghetti. If you know
the answers to these.
If we start recording ourselves, like filming ourselves doing this, we're gonna have to like make sure that our murder boards are in our deity theory murder boards.
Oh.
I mean, or maybe leave them up. We'll have episodes be like, so this is my murder board. It looks like spaghetti.
If I have like green screen, you know, then I can just take a picture of my murder board and have it perpetually behind me.
Yes, yes you could.
Good. Also, it's getting really dark, so I might be plunged into darkness about how
that was delightful. That was actually something I was also thinking about in regards to filming. I was like, we're gonna need lights, aren't we?
Okay.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm just gonna see little eyes just poking out.
Lights are that expensive either. We'll have to. Well, it's our research mission.
We'll get there.
Oh, light's expensive. I can just harness the sun and have a series of mirrors.
Harness the sun.
Okay. And then we'll just, in the middle of an episode, you'll be like, Aziz, light! Dan will come scuttling into the room and be like,
okay.
He is a creature of the night.
We end the episode? We end the episode?
No. Yes. Yeah, okay, we'll end it now. Okay. Just know that Idun is one of those figures that it's... She is... Her existence and her duties are endlessly confounding, and they hurt my brain.
Yes. She does leave us with only more also, questions.
Yeah, and also how... It kind of leads into the idea of the Viking Age. How did the Norse and the Nordic people see the gods? Obviously, you know, there was some element of them being able to die, but...
Then how different that is now, if that it required for us to view it the same way that we extrapolate the Old Norse to have viewed it? No. Mm-hmm.
Oh, questions. Okay, we'll end it here. Otherwise, we'll keep going.
I will, I promise.
Yo, do you want to plug everything?
Oh, God.
Yeah,
okay.
Please do.
all right. Hello, everyone. For the end of this episode, we would like to let you know about some things that we have. We have a Patreon. If you are willing and would like to participate in that, we have some special things there, like monthly SIF art drops. We have a Patreon chat in our Discord that is Patreon access only. We do little polls where you can help us pick stuff that you'd like to see a little sooner than others. And we also have slightly more unedited episodes, so you can fully just embrace and be surrounded by our utter chaos that is definitely professional. Anyways, so we have that. We have a Discord server, and it is free to join. Please come join us. It's kind of fun. We got a number of people there, and we have fun. Yeah, we have a Redbubble where we have some merch. It's kind of fun. We have squirrels, and by squirrels I mean a squirrel. And we have squirrel. A really inclusive, like, kind of pride flag collection for our logo. I think we have everything there. If anyone is in there and sees anything we don't have, just let us know. Sounds great. But yeah, with that, don't forget to weave the connection between the like, subscribe, and bell button. And remember, keep heathenry weird.
Hey! Oh, we have only more questions. We set out to answer questions and end up with more.
In job security?
One second.
Yes.
All right, okay, I need to actually kick out.
Yeah.
Bye, bears.